Welcome back to another episode of Arthritic Bourbon Bikepackers. Today we actually have bourbon because it's an afternoon today, not an early morning. It's like 2 o'clock-ish. And today what we're sipping on is some Knob Creek Single Barrel Select, which is a pretty hot bourbon, 120 proof.
Yeah.
Originally barreled up in 2011, pulled in 2020, so 9 years of aging. But man, it smells good. I wish the listeners could smell it.
Yeah,
it's got a good caramely bourbon flavor.
Hmm. Yeah,
it's good.
Yeah, good stuff.
Now that aging. Now you got a little more aging than that.
Yeah, that was 2020. It was pulled and it's been sitting in my cabinet for 3 or 4 more years. So
I mean, you and I,
you and I both, but the bottle itself as well.
Yeah.
So today, after several requests from listeners and commenting back about wanting us to talk more about rides we've done in the past, you've selected one to talk about today. And which ride is that?
This is the little ride we did in Tucson.
Tucson, Arizona.
Which is pretty far south in Arizona.
It's quite a haul for us from Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
We drove out there.
Yep.
Loaded the bikes on your car, I think.
Yep.
And hauled our tuckuses out to Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
What year was that?
That was 2021, January of 21.
January of 21. And I remember we were trying to search for some place that would be a little bit warmer
mm-hmm.
when we went out there. And we thought, well, it's in the Southwest. And yes, we know it's desert. And sometimes it's chilly or cooler at night. But still, warmer than here.
Yeah. Warmer than here, but probably cooler than I thought because it's just some altitude down there.
It's true. Just a little bit. The thing I remember about Tucson, if you've never been there as a community, is they really do have a pretty good network of bicycle trails and kind of pathways.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of ride, kind of a little bit reminds you of California, sort of, but you're riding and you go down kind of into these, like, and back up out of these almost like drainage areas. Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of have these, there wasn't any, hardly any water in them. But I guess when it really rains out there,
yeah.
There's a lot of flash flooding.
Yeah.
And those can get flooded then. But I remember us riding around the city on some of those paved areas, just kind of getting a tour of the place.
Yeah. And you could tell they're designed to have some capacity for water.
Yeah. Yeah. They were pretty good size.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was a really nice network of easy riding, bicycling, walking areas where you could kind of cruise around.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things I remember about that. Now, this trip, we were talking about this earlier, but this trip was really a little bit of city touring,
mm-hmm.
car camping, and bikepacking.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit of each, a little bit of everything.
Yeah. What do you remember about that?
Well, yeah, about the same. I remember kind of spending a little bit of time in town because we decided that we needed to experience these Sonora hot dogs.
Yes.
Yeah.
The famous Sonora hot dogs. If you've not heard of this in Tucson, they have these Sonora hot dogs that are supposed to be well known.
Yeah. Yeah. We'd heard about them from a couple people.
Yeah.
And, you know, they cut the bun and the top, and then they put the hot dog kind of wrapped in bacon and grilled, and then they put stuff on top.
It was good, too.
It was,
I remember that. We went to this little place that was known for it. We biked there, if I remember right.
Yep.
And we had to wait in line just a little bit. Not too long. I don't remember waiting too long. Had these really great hot dogs. They were good.
And I think that was attempt number two. Because we had tried the day before, and the place that we really wanted to go to was closed.
It was closed, yeah.
So we had some tacos that
day. Yes. We went to this local joint and had some authentic tacos.
Yeah.
They were good.
Yeah. And, you know, that time was, it was still affected by COVID, by the pandemic. And so some things were closed. And so logistically, I think it was challenging for that reason.
Yeah.
You know, fair number of things that just kind of weren't on the menu in a way.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
We stayed on the way out. We stayed at Dodge City.
Yes.
And then we got to Tucson. the first day of bicycling, we rode past this, if you remember, the Air Museum.
Yes.
It was almost, it looked like a graveyard.
Yeah.
I mean, rows and rows of like Air Force bombers and all manner of aircraft.
Yeah, I'd kind of forgotten about that till you bring it up.
Yeah. That was, it just seemed like it was an enormously large parking lot filled with airplanes.
Yeah. It was. It was like a, almost think of it like a retired airbase mm-hmm. that had been converted to like a museum.
Yeah.
Just filled with aircraft.
Yeah. It was kind of weird.
Yeah.
And we rode right alongside of it. And I think we hit the corner because then we basically rode on two sides of this thing. And it was just amazing how many aircraft were there.
Yeah.
And it took us to ride past it.
That's fantastic. I kind of had forgotten about that part of it too. Yeah.
Yeah, it was, I don't know. The planning for this was a little bit impromptu, but we did have a couple places in mind. And I think, you know, like you said, it was part car camping, mm-hmm. kind of part touring. And we had kind of a base of operations a couple times, you know, then you just take a ride, come back and camp again and take a ride, you know, because it wasn't a traditional, you know, route that you camp every night.
Right.
You know, it just seemed like it was hard to plan that at that time.
Yeah, it does kind of. I'm reminiscent of that, too, it being kind of difficult. We stayed a Holiday Inn there in Tucson, I remember, and then we kind of made our way doing kind of like you said, kind of like day rides a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yep. there was a time we went on this little park. And it looked like it's narrow. And, you know, we parked and we just got out and rode the bikes there. And we got out along this sort of old boy's fence. And I thought we were going to be trespassing at any moment, you know. It seemed really strange. Like you could, like the park just narrowed almost into a funnel.
Yes.
And it was the strangest thing, but it was fun. It was good terrain. It was a great place. Then you really felt like you were mountain biking.
Yeah.
Single track.
It kind of went back into this area. I remember that.
And we tried to hit that mission.
Yeah.
It's Spanish. It was called San Xavier del Bac Mission. But it was closed. And when I looked at it, I was really hoping to see this thing. Because architecture was really cool. And they had this structure made of timbers. Right.
Yeah.
It looked like mm-hmm. it was almost like an outdoor market, but there was nothing there.
Right. I remember us leaning the bikes up against those mm-hmm. and walking around. It was kind of like scraggly deadwood style mm-hmm. structures that had been built with mm-hmm. like the sticks across the top, making the roof as if it had been like a market area where there would be little vendors who would maybe have their wares out there for sale or something at this mission, but it was completely empty and there was like hardly anybody or no one around.
Yeah.
And we had hoped to be able to get in there to kind of look around, but everything was kind of closed up. And that was, again, the COVID era.
Yeah.
Era, rather.
That was unfortunate, just the timing. But, you know, I remember leading up to that, I just wanted to get out of town.
Yeah.
And I had wanted to see Tucson anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a neat area. The elevation of Tucson looks like it's almost 2,400 feet. So that's why it was chilly, I think, in the night. But terrain's real different there.
It's kind of a rolling hill area. Mm-hmm. I remember us at one point biking out to Tombstone.
Yeah.
And we kind of rode out there, ate at a restaurant there in Old Tombstone. And there were some things open then.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not at its peak like it normally is. And that's probably a little bit of the off season for that place too, I would assume. But, parked our bikes and kind of rode around Tombstone a little bit, then went in and ate at this restaurant that was there.
Yeah. I looked up the name. I'm pretty sure it was Big Nose Kate's Saloon.
That's right. Yep. That's true.
Yeah.
I'm glad you looked all this up because a lot of those details have left me.
Well, I wouldn't have remembered at all.
Yeah.
My wife remembers those things. I don't. I gotta have some evidence. So, but yeah, it was Big Nose Kate's, the famous significant other of Doc Holliday.
Doc Holliday, yeah.
But you know, the thing about that, about Tombstone, I've wanted to see Tombstone. And I've always been fascinated by the Earps and Doc Holliday and stuff. But the feel is definitely kind of like Gatlinburg, kind of like Branson. It's very touristy.
It is.
But it was fun. I had a good time.
There's a few hitching posts still out there. I remember us tying our bikes up to the hitching posts. And they do still do kind of the touristy thing where it's like, you know, the old sheriff standing out, you know, by the buildings, and occasionally there'll be a fake gunfight or whatever.
There wasn't
much of that going on when we were there, but you'd see an occasional thing like that around. But due to the restrictions that were going on, there probably had been kind of cut back a little bit. But yeah, it was fun. I just remember the ride out there being these really amazing rolling hills that just kind of were long, you know, climbs and descents, not like super great, not like a heavy grade or anything, but just, I don't know, just beautiful countryside, just like looking out across these vast expanses of area, kind of deserty, kind of scrubby, looking. It was kind of what I remember.
Yeah. Well, in the vistas, man, you could see for miles, and it was just amazing. And I was looking, the, you know, if Tucson is around 2,400 feet, Tombstone is 4,500 feet.
Right. A little bit of a climb.
So we had to climb to get there.
Yeah.
And I looked back. This is really funny. I had taken a picture of my bike computer at the end of that day.
Yeah.
And we had ridden about 50 miles, 50 miles round trip.
Yeah.
The average speed was 11 miles an hour.
That's pretty good.
But the max going down those hills, 36.5.
Yeah, there was a couple of really nice drops.
Yeah, real rewarding.
Yeah.
Downhill. That was fun. That was really fun. It was good stuff. The other thing I wanted to kind of at least recall was what I consider to be one of the real real gems of that trip was finding a campground that was at an alpaca ranch.
Yes, I do. That was quite memorable.
Yeah.
You located this place just kind of on the internet, kind of booked it online sort of a thing.
Yeah.
And we drove to find this place. And it was right next to this lady that kind of had a little bit of like exotic animal like stuff, but she had a lot of alpacas, and she had a shop that had alpaca wool items for sale.
Yeah.
And I remember it because we bought, like, socks was one of the things we bought. I bought a pair of alpaca socks. I gave them to my wife, and she loves them. They're like her favorite warm socks, is what she says.
Yeah.
And alpaca wool is known to be really a really nice wool for that.
Yeah. And I had some socks. I still wear them. I didn't give mine away because I really don't. I really liked them. The ones getting my socks.
Right.
But, you know, she gave us a tour, too. Showed us how she sort of, she would send the wool away and have it made into yarn.
Yes.
And then she would get it back and make socks and make various things after it was dyed and whatnot.
Yes. Yes.
It was neat. She had these little ponies, kind of crazy other livestock.
And down the road, if you remember this, there were some peacocks.
Yeah.
And she said something about that they were like her peacocks, but they wouldn't stay.
Yeah.
Where she wanted to keep them. They were down to the neighbors all the time.
Yeah. I think really she funny. Said they were damn traitors.
Yes.
That's what she said, something like that.
I was looking back that we made videos on there. So if anyone out there is interested in watching the videos of these, we made actually seven different videos about that trip.
Okay.
It's broken up by day. And some of them are not that exciting. They're just like day tripping around the old Tucson area or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was pretty fun. It was an adventure. We remember that we kind of did a little bit of the car camping thing. There at that alpaca ranch that we parked a car there. I remember that one. But did we have another place we stayed when we were out there besides that?
We did. We stayed at,
there was a campground, wasn't there?
Yes. I'm forgetting, Tucson Mountain Park, I think.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Mm-hmm. It was a county park, Pima County Park.
Yeah.
And we rode about 34 miles to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So that was part of the, I guess that was partly like an urban ride to,
right,
you know,
and that was kind of out toward the Saguaro National Park, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So we rode through there.
Yeah,
and that's amazing. Like, really, just being up close to these big giant saguaro cactus, whatever the plural is.
Yeah,
it's kind of humbling because they're so old.
Yeah, and there's something magical about waking up the morning and looking out your tent, mm-hmm. and you see all these giant cactus just kind of like silhouetted in the background. It was really
slowly kind of become visible as the sun comes up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That area is kind of reminds me a little bit too of, you know, the Big Bend Ranch kind of style. It's very mm-hmm. desert, very arid, and everything's a poker and a prickler mm-hmm. out there. Yeah. But if you remember, we kind of rode some sort of like single track area there one day around mm-hmm. that park, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was pretty rough.
It was. It's amazed that we didn't really have any tire punctures because I took a couple pictures of my arms riding through those things. I would just get scratched up.
Yes,
there's looked lots like of I was working in a veterinary
scrub
clinic.
Brush and stuff that would just scratch you up.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Yeah,
kind of ominous looking things. You take a close up picture of these things, you realize how long the thorns are. They can get you, you know.
Yeah,
whatever the plants are, I don't even remember. But that was one of my favorite sunrises.
Yes,
the night. The morning we woke up there, camped, I remember kind of peeking out of my tent. It was still dark, and I got up, took a little walk, because I just saw the ribbon of sunlight start to kind of brighten the horizon. And then I was walking around, and I heard the coyotes.
Yes.
And you think, well, just how close are these things?
Right.
You know? And it's weird how quickly they just start in this chorus. And then all of a sudden they stop.
Yeah, and then they're gone.
And it's amazing. Yeah, it was cool. That was definitely one of my favorite sunrises ever.
Yeah, it's very beautiful countryside there. It's very, very cool. And I mean, I remember it being fairly moderate temperatures too. I mean, you are right down close. I mean, you're basically almost to Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
When you go down around Tombstone, and down that area, you're close to the border. But it's still cool in the evenings.
Yeah.
But I remember the daytimes not being too bad. Like we would have, it seemed like I remember it being in the 60s.
Yeah. Yeah. Morning seemed cold. You layer up.
Yeah.
You know, and you just start, as soon as the sun's really up, even a little bit, you just kind of start shedding.
Yeah.
Shedding your layers. So you've got to have a place to put them if you're really on a ride for the day, because it just, the temperature swings. I probably should have really taken note of it. You know, how many degrees it shifted throughout the day. But I remember later in the day, I was hot.
Yeah, it would get pretty warm. You get pretty toasty, and you even have to watch a little bit to get about getting a little bit of a burn in the afternoons. But what a fun time, though. I mean, that was a great trip. I enjoyed that just because of the change in scenery. And again, it did remind us of Texas a little bit too, but there's something magical about that South Arizona desert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're leaving Missouri in the end of January, you know, and you get out there and it just, you know, anytime you can relocate and risk a sunburn, I think is a win.
Yeah, and you know, you have to watch things like wind, and I remember having some difficulty, like the difficult part is watching like where to put your tent because there's so many rocks and pokies on the ground. You have to really kind of scour the ground there to make sure you've got a place to put your tent and stuff like that. But I do remember a lot of other people were out there camping when we were at that campground.
Yeah.
There was nobody hardly at that one with the alpacas.
Yeah.
It was empty.
We were the VIPs.
But they had a little outhouse type bathroom thing out there.
Yeah.
And that was kind of nice. You could kind of walk over there and have access to it.
Well, we were able to have a fire there too, because sometimes that's an issue. It's so darn dry,
right?
But she did tell us we could do a fire as long as we made sure and put it out and careful.
Yeah. And did we scrounge for wood stuff? Is that what we did?
I think we did there.
Yeah.
There wasn't a whole lot of, you know, it's not like they were selling firewood.
Outside of the hot dogs, I don't remember anything particularly memorable of the food. We did the tacos and the hot dogs, the authentic tacos and the hot dogs.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything else that was particularly memorable outside of that. Do you?
No, we made a stop at a little market and just bought a bunch of like snacks and fruit and stuff one day. I do remember that. But it was, I don't know. It just seems like there were not a lot of things that were really wide open because of the pandemic, I think.
And most of the riding we did, honestly, was on some kind of a solid surface. We did a little bit of you know, that single track at that park, but the ride out to that park even was paved. It was pretty hilly. I remember that. We were having to climb and drop and climb and drop and climb and drop all the way out there to that mountain view park or whatever it was called.
Yeah, that terrain is just amazing. I don't know. I mean, I think at any given time, I would be willing to go back to the desert and camp and ride for sure.
Yeah, it's something magical about it. Yeah. And everyone seemed to be fairly bike friendly out there. I don't remember having any concerns because we were, and it seemed to be fairly sparse as far as traffic. Like we didn't have a lot of traffic. I don't remember a lot of traffic when we were riding out to Tombstone from Tucson. I don't remember a ton of traffic. There was some, but the roads were really good. It was really friendly. People would give us wide berth. There wasn't a lot of traffic because they could easily go around us without having to worry about, you know, other cars and stuff.
When I looked at some of my photos, really wasn't any significant shoulder that I seem to think. So, you know, if you feel comfortable on a road like that, that just means there's really no big traffic.
No.
I do remember some trucks, though.
Yeah.
There was some trucking that came through, but didn't seem like it was in heavy traffic. I didn't feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So.
Totally agree. Good trip. We need to do that again.
Yeah, I would
like to
do that.
That would be fun. Those are 2-year-old videos out there on YouTube if anybody wants to watch them on my channel. Again, it's day one. It's called Southwest Desert Bikepacking is the name of those. And it's day one through day six. And then we have one dedicated to Tombstone because it's such kind of a unique area.
Yeah.
And I should have gone back and watched those maybe before this episode, but it's kind of fun just to relive some of those memories without having to go and dig through the videos again, too.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I enjoy, a couple things that stick in my mind, too. I enjoy the drive out there, but if you remember also, you took your drone, but there are so many airfields out there and government installations, there's a lot of just no-fly zones.
Yeah, it was a lot of restrictions and not a lot of drone stuff. We weren't really able to do that much. Everywhere out there, some kind of government base or military installation or something. So there was a ton of flight restrictions.
Yeah.
I do remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was kind of fun to stop in Dodge City.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's another strange little town that not much was going on during that time, but it was kind of on the way, and we stopped in there and it's always a weird little place to hang out for a minute too.
I should tell you while we're driving, the things we go past really make me want to go back. We drove by Palo Duro Canyon, Texas, which is kind of the Grand Canyon of Texas.
Yeah,
and that's kind of awe-inspiring in a way too.
Yeah, we did stop there and just take a peek, didn't we?
Yep. Yep.
It reminds you a little bit of like a combination of the Grand Canyon and the Badlands, a little bit, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really, I don't know. It's kind of like we talk about with the Badlands. You go to these places and it seems like it's almost like they don't belong there.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, how did this happen in this particular spot in the middle of nowhere? But we did stop by there. Yeah, I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I think they've got some campgrounds down there, down below there, that looked like they were just really kind of calling me. And I looked at the elevation, there was 3,500. So even that is at some elevation. So I'm sure there's some cold camping nights there.
Yeah, particularly that time of year.
And we drove through New Mexico, so we got to go. It just catches my attention because, you know, I'm a little bit of a nerd and I watch these documentaries and everyone talks about Clovis Point culture, and we drove past Clovis, New Mexico.
Yeah.
And Highway 60.
Mm-hmm.
Highway 60 is kind of one of my bucket list items. I would love to just one day saddle up and leave my garage and end up, you know, go to Sedalia, maybe on the trail, head south and get on Highway 60, and then just go west until I can't anymore.
Until your body won't allow you to anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or until you dip into something wet.
Yep. Yeah, I would love that.
I don't know how far Highway 60 goes.
You know, it goes, I've looked at this and I've traced it, and there are times where it seems to disappear and restart, but you can, you know, you can go all the way, I know we were on 60 in New Mexico.
Yeah.
And I think it used to go into California. I don't know if it does all the way anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to experience that. Sure.
There's a couple of highways we've talked about like that. We've talked about Highway 60. We've talked about Highway 50, the loneliest highway.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We've talked about kind of the old Route 66 route, which I know we've talked about that a lot of times. It's a lot of places it's been converted to just pure interstate. So you, you can't truly just be on an old highway the whole time. Because across some of those areas, the interstate is the only highway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You look and there are no other roads. And so I guess there are some cyclists that wind up having to ride it on, on an interstate. Some.
Yeah.
Not my favorite. Wouldn't be my favorite place to ride, but I guess you don't have a lot of choices.
Yeah. And I've actually tried to answer that question. It looks like when you're looking at interstates, in most places, it's not legal to ride on the interstate.
Right.
But there are some places carved out. Like if there's no other option, or if the state, the local sort of government has said, no, this is designated as some sort of bike. I mean, but you gotta be careful. The motor traffic is so, 70, 80 plus miles an hour.
Yeah, that's a little, really fast.
A little nerve-wracking to be near.
In some of those areas, it's 85, depending on where you're at.
Yeah.
Particularly in the up north.
I've seen a couple places that the bridges are interstates, but they allow bikes there because that's the only way to cross the river.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's like that going into Quincy, Illinois, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Could be. Yeah. So,
but yeah, I keep thinking about the desert. I'd like to go back. Definitely would like to go back.
I had a friend of mine who's a photographer that was out at Saguaro National Park just recently, in the last year, and had said that it was one of her favorite locations she'd ever been to. Wow. She'd never been there before. It was her first time, and she got out there, and she was like, it was almost magical. And if you've not been out there to see it, it really is kind of, I don't know, it's intoxicating almost. It's like these giant, ancient cactus.
Yeah.
And some of these cactus are like, how old? Do you remember what the stats on that is?
I just remember several hundred.
Hundreds of years old.
Yeah.
We're not talking about, 40, 50 year old. We're talking hundreds of year old cactus.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and there's the park rangers out there will tell you, they're like so old before they even get their first bud to make an arm.
Right.
And I don't remember how old that is, but it's astonishing.
Yeah,
It would be like a tree that grows 80, 100 years before it makes a branch.
Yeah, we all think, at least I do anyway, maybe not everybody, but I think of the Roadrunner Coyote cartoons and seeing the cactus. That's what I think of when I think of cactus usually. And it's really what it looks like. I mean, they really do have the arms and they really are very pretty. And there's some really untapped beauty as far as when they flower, the different things that are out there flower and bloom. And you do have to be very careful though when they have rain, because that is an area that, man, it'll just flash flood like crazy. You can get yourself in some real trouble.
Yeah,
because it's a temptation to want to camp in these washes because that's where sand winds up kind of landing.
Soft,
and we kind of got into that in Big Bend a little bit. The places that we wanted to camp were in these washes because there'd be this really soft sand in those washes. Mm. But if it starts to rain, that's where you'll die, too, is in that wash.
Right. Because when the water comes, like it comes at one time, it's not necessarily a trickle and a slow increase. I've seen videos of water. It's almost like it's like pouring pancake syrup.
Yeah, it's like an avalanche almost, but it's a wall of muddy water, basically.
And debris.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that would be frightening.
Yeah.
That would be frightening. It's almost like a tidal wave.
Fortunately, we didn't have any issues with rain or with punctures. We didn't have any real bike issues while we were out there. Of course, we were riding a lot of pavement, like we said, so.
Yeah. Yeah. But still, like we said before, you notice so much when you're on a bike that you don't see in a car.
Yeah.
You notice on the side of the road how much debris and trash and just wreckage.
Yeah.
Screws, every car that has a breakdown. Yeah. Stuff flies off of a construction truck.
Lug nuts.
It's
weird things you see on the side of the road.
Yeah. And then you just think, well, man, I don't know how we don't have more flats.
Tucson's an interesting town too. A little bigger than you think probably. They do have a zoo there, if I remember right. The Tucson Zoo. We didn't visit it, but I've heard people talk about it, that they have a decent zoo there and lots of interesting things. It is a nice city as far as it's pretty urban, more than some would think.
Yeah. Yeah. I was surprised by that. Yeah, I was. Well, it wasn't a bad thing. It was just, you know.
Yeah. And then a lot of military stuff out there.
Yeah.
Lots of planes and military installations and stuff. So if you go to drone, you're probably not going to be able to use it that much. That's the thing we kind of learned, which was fine. It's probably better that we don't mess with it sometimes anyway and just kind of soak it all in.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It does. It changes your agenda for your ride, you know. But
for sure.
But some of the drone footage you get is just pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll wrap it up. That's our episode on Tucson, Tombstone, down there in the south. If you get a chance to go to Arizona and do some biking, check it out. There are tons of great places, even if you just want to go to Tucson and ride the bike paths around the city. There's so many. Mm-hmm. We rode miles and miles and miles. And part of that was because we really weren't in fantastic biking shape during that time because of all the things that had been happening. Mm-hmm. So we just went out there, and the first few days we spent just kind of warming ourselves up, honestly. We were doing 20 and 30-mile rides just to kind of get back in the groove before we were doing some of that longer stuff. But it was great. Yeah. Temperature was good, plenty of things to see, and lots of cool culture and food to enjoy when you're out there. So go out there and check it out if you get a chance. Like I say, there are some videos out there if anybody wants to see them. And that's it for this episode. We'll wrap it up. We are on every place that has podcasts out there. So do us a favor and leave us a review. It really does help the podcast. And also at the same time, Spotify has this really great feature where you can leave feedback outside of a review to answer a question. So if you have something you want us to do a podcast on or talk about, feel free to leave us some comments there. I promote that with them only because they're the only podcast app I've seen that has that function to be able to leave just comments, much like YouTube or other things. So do that if you want to get us a message. Otherwise, we always appreciate a great review. It really helps people find us. Thanks for being with us, and we'll see you again in the next episode.